Okay, shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all, there are a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and the That Sounds Fun Network, and Claritin D really works for this crew. I also realized a few years ago that I developed an allergy to dogs, so I'm thankful to have Claritin D on hand when I'm around my friends' dogs. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a running nose, itchy, watery eyes, and an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription, y'all. Just go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. So glad to be here with you today. The music in the background is from our good friend, Mr. John McLaughlin. If you haven't gotten his album, Angst and Grace, yet, what are you waiting for, guys? Come on. Do it. You're going to love it. Today on the show, as Couples Month continues, we have Mac and Meredith Brock. Okay, listen, here's the story. We didn't even tell you this. But Mac and I and Meredith and I have known each other separately for like years, known of each other. Meredith and I have been in the same place, but we've never been like real life all the way friends. And then, as you'll remember from an episode in November, Laura Bento, who runs Good Grit Magazine, Laura got married and she married Shane Quick, who I adore. And so at Laura and Shane's wedding, Mac and Meredith and I ended up sitting around a table and just talking for literally almost the whole reception. I mean, we just had the best time until it was time to get on the dance floor. And I was like, can you guys please come on the podcast like immediately / in February when we do Couples? Which worked out great because Mac also has an album out called Greater Things that I think you guys will absolutely love. So I wanted to tell you about his music, but then I also just adore Mac and Meredith. And I think you're going to really love this conversation. So without any more delay, here are Mac and Meredith Brock. Are y'all in the same room right now?
We are.
Actually are. It's a rarity.
I know. That feels very special to me.
It is.
I feel no very honored. Either. Yeah. What'd you do with your children, Mac?
I'm not sure what's going on with them right now, but I'm sure they're in good hands.
Yeah, you're really hopeful.
Yeah.
I believe that. I like that about you. Where have y'all been this weekend?
This weekend?
He was in Nashville up until...
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm going to publicly complain about it. Keep going.
He left. What day did you leave? Was it Thursday?
I left on Friday. I was finishing up a project and then led at the Worship Together conference.
And then he flew home. But I stayed. I flew in for the Worship Together conference with Lisa. And he flew home and I stayed until the following day where we hung out with you and all the stuff. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. It was very fun. I did say to my team, I was like, and I even said it to you, Mayor, when you were in the office, I was like, how did we not just do this in person when y'all were both in town? But y'all only overlapped here for like 3 hours or something, right?
Seriously.
I know. Seriously. We had dinner with each other and that was about the only time we saw each other.
Yeah, seriously.
That's well done. I mean, that's kind of what you have to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically, because one has to go home and hang out with the kids.
Right.
And then the other one can go do what they're supposed to do.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. Tell me, how many years have y'all been married?
Going on 13 this May.
Lucky 13.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. How long has your life involved the road?
Well,
it's not involved the road.
Like it does now.
Yeah. It's been seasonal. But from the start of our marriage, we've always been independent. And so even when we first got married.
You'd go on vacations by yourselves and.
Right. Almost, pretty much. I took an internship that took me to California for like 3 months, like right after we got married.
No kidding.
And then Meredith had to stay back because it was an unpaid internship.
So right. I had to stay. I stayed in South Carolina and paid the bills.
To make money.
Wait, okay. Tell me about that decision. How did y'all come to that?
It was a no-brainer decision, I felt like.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity for me. It was in the field before I was like leading worship a lot. It was kind of in what I wanted to do, and it's kind of a good opportunity. And so, I mean, it was hard. We had a lot of
people tell us not to do it. And really? I was like, seriously, Annie, when he told me about it, I didn't even have to think. I was like, you better do it. Like, go do it. Right. Like, that's a once in a lifetime. It was with a...
After you'd only been married for 3 months.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, it's like, we're going to have the rest of our lives together, you know? So I was like, go do it. Chase after it. And wow. So he went and I stayed in South Carolina. I got a dog.
Yep. That's all you need.
Yeah. I got a little pug. We named her Maybe. Maybe the dog.
No, you did not. You named her Maybe.
We did.
Why? Max, like, yeah, of course we did, Annie. What else did you expect? Obviously. Okay, that's really interesting because one of the, I mean, this whole month, I think I've told you all this, but this whole month we're doing couples on the show. And one of the things that for some reason when I've been like thinking, I mean, I won't over spiritualize, I won't be like, as I've been thinking and praying, but as I've been thinking and praying about this series, one of the things I really wanted to talk to y'all about is how you make decisions as a couple, because y'all do run, so you have two full-time ministries in your home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the third one being your home and your children and each other.
Yeah.
And so when you make a decision like that, like, the opportunity comes to you and did y'all like listen for God or did you try, how did you, cause so many people want to know how to hear God. How did y'all know that was the right thing that God had for you?
Yeah. That's like the hardest part. Cause even when you think you hear God, you're only like 20% sure that it was God.
Right.
And I mean, we feel the same, like every big decision we've ever made comes with a lot of second guessing, comes with a lot of fear of like, oh shoot, did we do that? Like, is this right? We did start out our marriage that way, but I think we've learned even more so the longer we've been married, the more we've been kind of just in communication is how to talk through all these options that we feel like might be on our heart.
Yeah.
And we've had to get really good at just talking, mm-hmm. you know, like me and Meredith are both like internalizers and we're really good at processing a lot.
Okay. Tell me your Enneagram numbers.
I'm an 8.
Okay.
Wing 7, Annie.
That's right. That's right. You are.
Yeah, that's like the rough one, right?
Yeah. See, he's grateful for my 8 every single day of his life.
No kidding.
I love the 8. And I'm a 9.
Oh, that's right, Mac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us, we had to learn that we couldn't process internally all the time until we made a decision and then bring it up as a couple.
Right.
We kind of had to talk about it. In the process.
It wasn't not concluded yet. We hadn't come up to a conclusion yet. Right. But we would invite the other person in the processing.
And I think it comes with a level of like, when you trust each other,
mm-hmm.
it's okay. If Meredith trusts me and trusts my heart and trusts my intentions, then I can bring up something that's really scary and she's not going to freak out. She can kind of trust, okay, we can at least walk through this together. And same with her. Like if she brings up something that's really wild to me, I at least trust that she's prayed about this or that.
Yeah. Before I ever even really bring, right. I mean, to be honest, I think that's probably one of the big things is like, both of us are such, to be honest, like very calculated individuals. Yeah. And I know Mac will never bring something up that might be kind of crazy to me on a whim. Like, that's just not who he is.
Right.
Like, he won't just think like, man, maybe we should like move to Washington, D.C. And he just thought that one time.
Right.
He would never bring that up to me because he knows what it could do to me.
Right.
Like, it could make me internally panic. And so he would really chew on that and think through it and pray about it and, you know, then bring it up to me and kind of process with me. But I think that's a big part of it. But also, I mean, major decisions for us, babe. Like, we've had to make some really, really big, scary decisions in our marriage, like any other, you know, marriage and relationship, you know, that you have. And we've really consistently, and not to make us like shine our halo here, but we really consistently have fasted together.
Oh, yes. Come on.
And prayed together. And almost every single time we've done that around the major decision, it's been pretty wild. We come out on the other side without, we know what we're going into. Like, we're both focused on the same thing and asking the Lord for clarity around this or whatever it might be. And on the other side of it, we usually go out to dinner and we say, what did you hear? Like, what do you think the Lord's putting on your heart?
Yeah.
And we almost always end up in the same spot, which has helped.
But it's almost like a game.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I'm sure now the Lord's going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But When the stakes are high, that's where we've always gone.
And do y'all know that Nashville, right now we're in the February, the city of Nashville, about like 450 churches are fasting and praying together for revival. Did y'all know this?
Wow. Oh, no, that's amazing.
That. Isn't that unreal?
That is so cool.
I know.
That is so cool.
So we're right in the middle of a fast. And so I would love to hear y'all talk more about how and I'm sure, but you can talk into it about when it's food versus when you do like social media or something else. Like, how has fasting affected y'all's marriage and your relationship with each other to bring that discipline into your lives?
Yeah, I think anytime that we've been like praying for something or like actually like really seeking the Lord for like a decision, it's always been like a food fest.
Yeah.
And it's always been, all right, let's take 2 or 3 days. And let's fast and pray together. And then we'll like kind of reconvene and talk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously I think through any other seasons, we might go through like a social media fast or a Netflix fast or something like that. But that's usually
independent.
Independent, we don't usually do that together. Or even just like, I need this for my health.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I need this to like stay on top of like, make sure I'm not.
Make sure we're disciplined individuals.
Yeah, disciplined.
Yeah. But the food one is, we've always done like a food fast when we've really felt like we need clarity from the Lord.
Yeah.
Like we needed that extra amount of time to focus and bring like discipline to our bodies and our minds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Before you were married, was fasting a part of your life?
It was for me. Not like a ton, but like even youth group, like we would have like,
right.
I remember we would do like a 24-hour fast and then we'd have like big pizza party.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that right there, and he tells you one of the big differences between Mac and I did not grow up going to youth group. So I have none of those memories, but I became a believer my senior year in high school. And so I did it throughout my college years.
Okay.
And I just did it alone. I went to a little Bible college and it was something that we learned there. And I just recognized the benefit of it in making decisions and just in the depth of my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. So a husband is listening or a wife is listening and they think, man, I would love to fast with my partner. Like I wish that we are making a decision or we're going to make a decision. And I think fasting and praying would really clarify for us and clear it up. How would y'all suggest they even start that conversation with their partner?
I'm
asking you to be an expert on something. You're welcome.
Right. I know. All I can speak to is kind of like how we've done it. And I'll be honest, like even when we've fasted together, it might look different for each of us.
Yeah.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Like I might be fine, like fasting for like a full 24 hours and Meredith might say like, hey, like once like dinner hits or like late night, like I am going to eat a little bit of something. And it's not, I don't know. It doesn't have to be this legalistic thing, but I think anytime that you're kind of like depriving yourself of something together with a common goal to pray or a common theme to like work on in your heart, it provides so much clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say like there've been many times in our marriage. And I think the longer we've been married, the more we've realized how that's helped us.
Yeah.
And so there've been many times in our marriage, like that we've done this, we've done it like a lot.
Well, and I will say too, Annie, I think this helps for, I think oftentimes, I don't want to project this onto other marriages, but oftentimes and this really hasn't been the case for me and Mac, but I have enough female friends who are married that oftentimes will say, I want to do this, but my husband doesn't want to.
Right.
You know, how do I get him to want to do this with me? And Mac has almost always been the one to bring it up, but I would say just saying, hey, I'm doing like this is how he'll approach it with me. Hey, babe, I think I'm going to fast this week. As we kind of think through this decision, here's what I'm going to do.
I like how she just like barely drops her voice one octave to be you, Mac. Hey, babe.
That's about as deep as it gets, hey, Annie. I'm tired. You like that?
Yeah. Hey, babe.
I would feel like, oh, I want to join in.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to be a part of this. And so I would just say like being able to go to your spouse and say, hey, I know we're trying to make this big decision. I'm thinking about fasting and praying, you know, it's going to look like this. I'd love it if you would do it with me, because I think anytime you bring legalism into fasting, you've almost defeated the point.
That's right.
I think we're like, even us talking about it right now, I think it's canceling out a lot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The Lord's going to unanswer all your prayers.
I think we're supposed to be talking about this.
I mean, unless you were, Mac, I mean, unless you were actively fasting and going like, you guys, I'm starving. If you knew what a good Christian I was. But you're just generally talking about the discipline of fasting. I'll double check with the Lord, but I think you're all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the three of us are like out to eat, or we're sitting at we sit at a table at a wedding reception. And I say to you guys, hey, I like having fasting as a part of a discipline in my life as a single woman before I'm married. Why do you think, for our single friends who are listening, why do you think it's important to have disciplines like that already set up in your life?
I just think anytime, if you're walking through something, like, there's never not a good time to like stop and pray. Mm-hmm. And there's never not a good time to like kind of take a moment. And so anything that we can do at any season in our life, whether you're single, married, whether you're working on like a big decision, or you just like need some clarity or something, say like, hey, I'm going to set aside this time. Maybe it's just lunches. I'm going to set aside my lunch this week, and I'm just going to use that time to pray. I'm going to use kind of just even like the feeling that I have of like I'm hungry as like a reminder of like God sustaining us. That in and of itself is going to be like a positive in your life. It's not going to return void.
Right.
And so whatever, we can always take time to do that. And I think that the Lord values that and honors that.
Yeah. Well, and I would add to that, as a person who deeply dysfunctional background, as I became a believer, I recognized there were some things that were deeply, the reason I fasted prior to ever even meeting Mac, like he wasn't even in my life. I was a 20-something-year-old trying to figure out what in the world I was doing. I recognized I had some issues in my heart that simply reading a book or having a whole lot of like self-control wasn't going to fix.
Yeah.
Spiritual breakthrough for my character and for those things in my heart to become unseated and for me to be able to grow into a healthy person. And I personally found that even knowing, I did it a decent amount when I was in college, really helped me emotionally into a person of better connection with myself, which in turn, I think, helped me in my marriage, where I'm a secure person because of some of that work I did on my own.
Right.
Never met Mac.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because it's shaping. I mean, you were doing all the things to shape you. I think one of the big problems sometimes in Christendom is we are teaching single people to go out and look for the kind of person they want to be with versus being the kind of person they want to be with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that'll get you upside down real fast.
Yeah.
Right. And so then there's this like, well, I want to fast and pray, not because I'm trying to find a spouse, but because that's the kind of person I want to be.
Right. Yeah. Have the depth, the spiritual depth of being able to have that discipline for no other reason. I just want to know my Savior more.
Yeah. Okay, y'all, we just didn't waste any time. We just went, we dove in the deep end. But I like you guys. Okay. Well, you mentioned it a second ago, Meredith, but will y'all tell me how y'all met? Cause I don't think I know this.
Oh boy. It's exciting.
Oh good. Okay.
I'll give the short version.
Yeah. I get overly excited about this story cause it's just my favorite story. So it's better that Mac tell it or we'll use the whole.
Cause one of the best things about this month has been hearing God weaving stories together in ways that people couldn't have done themselves.
Yeah. Well, this one's definitely that.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So Meredith grew up in the West Coast in Idaho. When she became a Christian at 17, she moved to Alaska and lived in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Feels normal.
Super like normal, right?
6 years. It was just like, need to get into a better, healthier zone. This family invited her in. And so she was kind of stationed in Alaska and went to school in South Carolina. And
Meredith.
Her last semester... Yeah,
I know. There's my seven, Annie. I love adventure. All I was like, they were literally the college in South Carolina was like, we'll give you some money if you want to come to this college. And I was like, I've never been to South Carolina. Yeah. Let's go.
You're so seven because you're like, as north as I can go.
As south as I can go. Seriously, you're not kidding.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. I love adventure.
That's what I have to deal with. Anyway, I met her just in South Carolina at an event like her last semester. And so we met, kind of hung out.
Like, what do you mean? You were singing?
Oh my gosh.
I'll be honest.
She was a hairdresser. And so I knew that that could be like an in. So I got her to cut my hair.
Oh, you're brilliant.
He's skipping over a very important part of this.
like a normal person would obviously pay somebody to cut their hair.
Right.
I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, well, hey, let me just take you to lunch, you know? She couldn't resist.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, so, this is not true. I need to tell the true story.
I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. I'm going to tell the true story, Annie. Are you ready for the true story?
Yes, I'm super ready. Yeah.
Okay. So just like I'm going to pick up on the spot where he said it was the last semester of my senior year.
Yeah.
My best friend in college who I lived with was throwing an outreach event and Mac's band was playing.
Got it. Okay.
And my best friend was like, hey, Mayor, can you come help me at the outreach event? And I was like, sure thing, Megs, I'm on it. So I came and she was like, can you please just feed the band? And there's this boy with this really great smile came through and all he was doing was standing in front of me smiling with his playing.
Oh, that is true.
See, just the goofiest grin on his
smitten.
Mouth.
Yeah.
See, there it is,
yeah.
Annie.
That is true. I'll give you that part.
No. Now you got to wait for the next part. You forget all the best details.
Well, these
people
are
love
details.
These. People love these. Okay. So then I serve him his food, and his mom, who is the drummer in the band, not kidding. True story.
Wait a minute. Mac, your mom was your drummer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she could tear it up
so
on a drum set,
awesome.
Annie. She's amazing. You would love her.
Amazing.
She's
That's
the best.
Awesome.
So she sees her young son smitten with this girl and looks at me and she says, hey, what are you doing for dinner? And I said, oh, I'm just going to eat out here. And she said, no, you come on. You're sitting back here with us. And so she insisted that I come in the back room and have lunch with them. And later that night, Mac Brock asked me for my phone number.
Yeah.
And I gave it to him.
So well done. Just like, I want your phone number.
Yeah. The next day was even better because then he called me and he said, hey, could you cut my hair? And I said, sure. And he came over to my house and I cut his hair and I think I was wearing my pajamas. And when I got done cutting his hair, I was expecting him to pay me. And I stood there for
a minute. Of course, like a normal person would.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he said, can I take you to lunch?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. And so then it took a minute for me to fall in love with you, but then I fell in love with you.
Yeah, and then she moved back to Alaska for a season, and got her to come back, and she came back, and we married like a year later.
It's true.
So tell me about when you decided to go back to Alaska, Meredith. What did y'all stay together, or did you like?
She tried to break up with me.
I did try to break up with him. It's a funny story,
gosh.
Annie.
Oh, I love
literally.
This.
I'm like very logical. I'm a little older than Mac. I was actually graduating. And he was starting college.
Okay.
And I remember recognizing, okay, I'm about to graduate from college in a month. And I'm moving back to Alaska because I loved Alaska and I wanted to live in Alaska for the rest of my life. And so we were driving back to my house. I can't remember where we were driving, but we were driving somewhere. And I decided this is the moment. I've got to tell him that there's no way this is going to work out. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm about to graduate. I'm ending college. You're starting college. I just don't see how this is ever going to work out. And he said, no, it'll be fine. And I was like, no, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say here. I don't think our relationship can continue. And he was like, no, really, it's going to be fine. And
oh,
I was like, no,
gosh.
But seriously. And he was like, Meredith, it's going to be just fine. And I was like, I had nothing else to say. I didn't know. He like wouldn't let me break up with him. And so literally I was like, okay, whatever. I'll go back to Alaska and this will fizzle out. But it did far from that. We talked every day on the phone. And then after about, was it 3 months?
Nope.
He convinced me to come back to South Carolina. So I did.
Wow. Mac, why didn't you let her break up with you?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just didn't even, I didn't
he doesn't
even think
know.
That
That's
was an option.
Saying.
I just assumed like, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no, like.
Like, did you know? Like, were you like, this is my wife. We're not breaking up.
I think I did early on.
But you were also 18 or something, right?
No, I was 20.
Okay.
21. I think I was just like so fascinated with her.
Like,
I was so just intrigued by her. And yeah, I just assumed that that wasn't going to be an issue.
And so when he convinces you to come back, Meredith, like at this point, you're in a serious relationship with the Lord and with Mac Brock. I mean, are you saying... What are you saying to the Lord when you're deciding about going back to South Carolina?
Well, it was kind of a crazy story. It was one of those times, Annie. Actually, now that you say that, it's so funny that the start of this conversation started with fasting.
Yeah.
And this was one of those moments. You know, I was in Alaska. I had graduated with my undergrad from a Bible college in South Carolina. I assumed that I was going to move up to Alaska and, you know, the Lord was just going to open doors. Not a lot of people want to do ministry in Alaska, you know, so I assumed
right.
He had called me there. you know? And so I went up there, I was working, doing my thing. And then it was very clear, like all the doors that I thought were going to open closed. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I really started praying, and the Lord kind of laid on my heart, like, maybe you should consider going back to get your master's degree in counseling. And I was like, what in the world? You know, that like started thoughts of discontentment and realizing my time in Alaska might be coming to an end started to kind of happen in my mind. And it really didn't, even though I would like to say it was because I was in love with this guy named Mac Brock. At that point, I was still, I have a lot of hurt in my past, so I was still very suspicious of him. And so it really didn't have that much to do with him. And so I really started praying, and I went through a long period of fasting when I was living up there, all on my own, just being like, Lord, what do you want? And I started to apply to graduate programs. And believe it or not, I got accepted into the University of South Carolina, and they offered me a big fat scholarship for their counseling program. And then on top of that, it was like I got a job in South. Everything came together in South Carolina. And so I was like, okay, Lord, is this you opening the door for me to go back? And it was him after really praying and fasting. And I did also have a lot of people in my life, that family that I moved in with when I was 17 kind of became my parents. They became my family. And so they helped me process a lot of it in terms of just being making wise choices. And they also concurred, I think this is a wise choice for you, Meredith. I think you need to move back to South Carolina and do your master's degree. So I did.
Yeah.
Not thinking, I did not move back to South Carolina thinking, I'm going to marry that boy. I went back to South Carolina thinking, I'm going to get my master's degree.
And you got both? Did you get both?
I did. I got both.
Buy one, get
lucky
one.
Girl.
I win.
I think that that is such an important lesson for so many of us, married and single, to hear. Like, I was going after what God had made me for. And all these people in my life confirmed it too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's heartbreaking when you hear stories of people who've given up their whole lives to move to where a partner of some sort is, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then it all falls apart.
Right.
And sometimes God still moved you there on purpose, and there's still purpose in that. And sometimes all your people told you not to move, but you moved anyway.
Right. Yeah, totally. I think like that's the coupling with like fasting is like scripture, digging in scripture, but then also like seeking wise counsel and people that you trust and like bringing them along in the journey with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have people the whole time, Mac, when you were still in South Carolina talking about her coming back? Did you have people speaking into that for you as well?
Just my parents. My parents were like, oh yeah, like if y'all break up, like, she's part of the family.
You're the one who leaves if we break. If y'all break up.
Yeah. So from the get go, they were very interested in her being a part of our family too.
As you guys know, my faith is an important part of my life, and I'm always looking for new ways to learn and grow. And that's why I'm so excited about FaithBox. It's an amazing subscription box service that inspires daily Christian living. And with FaithBox, you'll get a box filled with inspiring devotional items delivered right to your door every month. Each box is based on an uplifting theme, and it's always a surprise to see what's inside. I've gotten two so far, and I've really liked both of them. Every box includes a daily devotional with inspirational scriptures and challenges and seasonal prayers, a book by a Christian author relevant to the month's theme, and some do-good products, some meaningful products that you'll love made by companies around the world that give back to those in need. With FaithBox, you'll end the month more centered in your faith. Plus, you'll have access to a supportive online Christian community. I've really liked my first couple of boxes. It was fun to open. I've been a member of a couple of different subscription boxes, and I always love opening them and slowly going through what's inside. And I've really enjoyed the two I've gotten so far from FaithBox. I want you to experience FaithBox too. So I've worked out this very special offer for my friends. You get $10 off your first subscription, but only if you use my promo code, That Sounds Fun. So get my special offer today. Go to faithbox.com/thatsoundsfun and use the promo code That Sounds Fun at checkout. That's faithbox.com/thatsoundsfun. And the promo code when you check out is That Sounds Fun. Today's episode is also brought to you by PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. And when you sign up, you'll receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. After only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all your meals ready for the entire week. It's a great time to listen to podcasts when you're prepping for your week's worth of food. And you'll save time and have amazingly delicious meals like smoky paprika chicken legs with a trio of roasted vegetables or that turkey and zucchini lasagna. In addition to the gluten-free and paleo meal plans, Prep Dish is now offering, as of the new year, keto meal plans, which I think is awesome. If you've been curious about keto, try it out free for 2 weeks. Check out prepdish.com/Annie for a keto beginner's menu and to get your first 2 weeks for free. Again, that's prepdish.com/Annie, and your first 2 weeks are free. This is a no-brainer. You guys are going to love it. Thanks, Prep Dish. We think you are awesome. Just want to thank our sponsors, Lipscomb University, that's here in Nashville. At Lipscomb University, their online programs are shaped by a commitment to creating a better future. And with multiple undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs to choose from, you can define what that future looks like and earn the same academically rigorous degree you'd get on their campus, all with the flexibility to fit your life. We know you're ready to lead, so pursue your goals and a better world at Lipscomb Online. Visit lipscomb.edu/online to learn more. That's lipscomb.edu/online. Let's fast forward a little bit to where you're doing music professionally. You started at Elevation, right, Mac?
Yep.
I mean, you were doing it before that, but...
Yeah, so I, you know, right before we got married, I was still finishing up college and was leading worship kind of not on the side, but like just at different events, very random. It wasn't something I was pursuing, but it was something I would do often. And I met Stephen Furtick and he invited us up to come. They had just kind of started the church. And so early on in our marriage, this was after
his intern,
after my internship in LA, I started driving up on the weekends to come be a part of Elevation. And then like 6 months later, we just decided to move up.
That was another fasting and
praying. Yeah, that was another fasting and praying situation that we were just like, okay, let's try, you know, let feel like we're supposed to do something new and be a part of this church. So let's go do that. And then I was on staff there for 10 years.
Okay. Man, I just love how important that discipline is for y'all. I just think that is, I'm not kidding. I don't know that we've ever had a show where people have so naturally kept going back to, oh yeah, we also fasted then. Oh, we also fasted then.
You know,
then.
It's kind of wild. Well, it's wild because we were just talking, I think, you know, kind of at the end of 2018, we were doing being very nostalgic and we were talking about just all the Lord has done.
Which mainly you talked about us being friends, right?
Yeah, well, that was the highlight.
Sure.
2018.
Sure, same.
Was like releasing new music.
Yeah, for sure.
No, but
the greater things your album talks about is me. The greater things was friendship with Annie. Yeah. Now.
Well, duh.
Yes,
duh.
Who knew?
But one of the things that we keep coming back to was just me and Meredith are very, we're very big planners. We're very much like, all right, what's our goals, all this stuff. But when we look back at our life, there's so many situations that we had no idea like what the plan was or the end game was. We just realized we're supposed to step into something.
Yeah.
So whether it was to move to Charlotte, whether it was to leave staff, leave the a church staff role, or whether it was, you know, stuff with Meredith's job. It's just like time and time again, we just knew this goes against our nature because we like planning and we like 10-year goals and we like 5-year goals and we like knowing what's coming. But there's been so many instances when we look at where our life is now, it's just a weaving in and out of this like journey that couldn't have been planned and couldn't have been manufactured. It was just step by step, random things that we felt like we were supposed to do and walking in that. And now we're where we're at.
Yeah.
I love hearing y'all say this because it matters to me, but I think it, so many people listening may feel like they're right in the middle of a story, but they don't know where they are in the story. You know, like we know we're not at the beginning. I'm not sure we're at the end. Where am I? And it sounds like what you're saying is like every time you get to where you don't know what's next, maybe fasting and praying will give you some direction if it doesn't give you the end result.
Yeah.
I still feel that way like all the time. Like
every day.
Yeah. And even with like new music that I'm making.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm working on a record right now. We went into the studio. It was the first week in January. And I don't know why I felt this way. It wasn't like, I'm not like trying to be self-deprecating, but I had this realization of like, maybe this is the last time I go into the studio and make music. You know, maybe a year from now, I'm not doing this anymore. Like let me just enjoy this process and enjoy this moment. And I'm not speaking that like prophetically or anything.
I'm just saying
it was a help. It was a helpful thing for me to go into that week knowing I am in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if this is the beginning of something new. I don't know if this is the end of something,
yeah.
You know, but I'm right in the middle and I can be present in this and enjoy it and be grateful and, you know, and trust that God will lead me every step of the way.
Yeah. Something I've been thinking about a lot. We may have talked about this when you were here, Meredith, but something I'm thinking about a lot is what you want to do and who you want to be the day before God answers your prayer.
Oh.
You know, like the thing you've been praying for or the end of the story or yeah. Like who do you want to be the day before? And it sounds like Mac, that's what you're saying is like, if God is turning the page of this, which you're not saying he is, you could make 50 more albums.
Yeah.
But who do you want to be if this is, if this was the last day you recorded or if this is the last album, what do you want to say and who do you want to be and how do you want to appreciate what you're sitting in?
And it's freeing and it's freeing. It allows you the chance to not feel so tight-fisted on like the things that you think that you value.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know, I mean, if I never went back into the studio, I would be devastated and would like hate it. But it also gave me like just like a sense of stress-free to like, like it's not something that I have to hold on super tight to. I can be open-handed with it. Mm-hmm. And God has just proven to us over and over and over again that when we're open-handed and when we're kind of like on the same page, communicating, yeah. very transparent with each other, he's never not shown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always done something kind of wild and exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
What I keep seeing true in my friend's life and in my own life is it doesn't often look the way I thought it was going to. Sometimes it does. Sometimes he does exactly what I prayed and exactly what I pictured in my head.
That's the best.
But more often than not, yeah, it's awesome when he does that. But more often than not, it's a iteration of what I prayed that is better.
We've talked about that so many times. I mean, I couldn't, not in a million years, could have dreamt up what I'm doing right now. Like I could not have told you, I want to be doing this when we have two kids, you know?
Yeah, describe what you're doing, Meredith, for people who don't know.
Yeah, okay. So I am the executive director of strategy and business development at Proverbs 31 Ministries. And then I get the privilege of being the publishing manager for Lisa Turkhurst and a literary agent for a few other authors, which have been an absolute joy that I love doing. But what I was saying is like the wild thing is that that was nowhere on my radar, like nowhere on my radar. When we had our son, Harvey, I had been working at the church with Mac as a producer and in the creative department for like almost 5 years. And when we got pregnant, we just decided, you know what? Both of us can't work at the church. It was a very fast pace. So I started just doing brand management for Lisa. And it just
it's like
of,
a part-time job just to like, all right, well, you need
one
to do
day a week, actually,
you know?
One day a week.
And it's amazing. I mean, Meredith, it's honestly amazing because like that was so later in life compared to like, you know,
I was
going
30
to college.
Years old.
She was 30 years old and stepped into something very new, very unfamiliar. It's amazing to see like how the Lord has directed her path since that. And just 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. It is crazy. And it was just simply like a step of obedience for us to just be like, okay, I'll do this. And then the next thing came along and I was like, okay. Yeah. And, you know, Lisa asked me to come on full time and onto the executive team. It was just one little step of obedience at a time. It wasn't some master plan that we ever had, but man, am I thankful that it worked out the way that it did.
Right. And I think, I mean, people here and y'all know Emily Freeman who lives near y'all, but Emily Freeman says often in her book and her podcast is called The Next Right Thing. Like she's like, stop trying to do or see 30 years down the road and do the next right thing. Because I don't think any of the three of us would have picked if we'd have had this conversation 10 years ago and gone, hey, what do you think your job's going to look like in 2019? I mean, no way would I picture this.
I feel like I've just learned over and over again, if everything you do need to do it with like discernment and do it with wisdom. But I think being flexible is like a trait that we don't talk a lot about in our life. And that's something that I feel like even
in your faith, Mac, you need to see it in your faith.
Right. Yeah. Be flexible. Like even in our marriage, like there've been a lot of times that we're just trying to be flexible with like an opportunity or flexible with like, hey, this is really weird. I don't know why I should do this, but maybe be like,
we're going to do it.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, you have to have discernment, you have to have like wisdom. But every time that we've like kind of stepped out and been just open-handed and flexible with like our schedule or flexible with whatever
opportunity,
like it usually leads to something that's really interesting and kind of life-giving.
Yeah.
How old are y'all's two kids?
Our son Harvey is 7, and we have a little girl Cyrus who's 4.
I mean, they're so cute on the internet.
I mean, they are. Basically, yeah. The cutest thing.
Cyrus is like the star of my Instagram page.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, when you posted that video when y'all were both out of town and he was just dragging her around. I
mean, on the hoverboard.
On the hoverboard. Right? I was dying laughing.
All I could see was stitches in her chin. That's all that was going through my mind.
He kept trying to do that when I was in town. I was like, what are you doing, dude? Stop. And as soon as we left, I get a picture.
You got his grandma to let him do it.
My mom, and she's like, they're having a blast. What is going on? Yeah.
I mean, for the people who haven't seen it, we'll link to it because it's on your actual post, isn't it, Mac? I think it's a post.
I mean, it is literally
him on a hoverboard and her holding onto his ankles.
And he's just circling our house.
And he's bent over and he's put his hands between his legs.
Oh, that's right.
Which is even worse because he could go head first off of the hoverboard. And she would then smash her face into the bottom of the hoverboard.
Yeah.
It's like ER, emergency room written over it.
Tell me how y'all teach them about prayer already.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
Thank you so much.
I mean, we pray a lot as a family.
It's true.
And, you know, right now it's a lot of like, hey, close your eyes. Stop doing what you're doing while we're praying.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very much, I would say, like in a disciplinary phase of like trying to.
You need to focus when we're talking. Yeah.
But I think for us, we keep bringing it back to like, this is why we do this. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly telling them like, you know, every night as a family, like if I'm in town, we'll be in our room. We'll go around the room and ask, you know, Cyrus, what do you want to talk to God about tonight? Harvey, what do you want to talk to God about tonight? And so I think just connecting the dots for them that they're talking with God, that that's the way that we communicate with God. Yeah, that's like the biggest thing.
And I think one of the big things that I've seen with the kids is they've absorbed, like Max said, we do family prayers every night before they go to bed. And we, of course, pray before our meals. But I think the biggest thing is they hear us. We don't just ask them what they want to pray for. We always share what we're praying for, too. And we allow ourselves. We're actually like real and vulnerable in those moments.
I was about to say, do you tell the truth?
Yeah,
do you like tell them like,
we're like, man, I had a really bad, rough day at work. I got a rough meeting coming up. You know, like kind of bring them along in it.
So they know like, okay, mommy's dealing with this or daddy's, you know, and we're going to bring it to the Lord to be able to trust him with it. And I think it's been good.
I think maybe the last piece is that we do a lot of like praise report prayers too.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, even in those nights that we're going around the room, like there are a lot of times intentionally that we'll be like, I'm not going to ask for anything tonight. I just want to thank God that he
answered this prayer,
you know, and thank God that we get to be together, you know? And so like, you know, I mean, I don't know if we're doing a great job. We don't know.
They're still young, Annie. The verdict's still out.
They're very coordinated as a pair. I can tell you that. They can at least be skaters, ice skaters together.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I do think, I think that's brilliant. Because even as a human who grew up as a kid, I'm not sure that I ever thought enough about answered prayers as much as I thought about asking for things.
Mm. That's the way I was growing up all the time. And I remember being in youth group when my youth pastor like really directly challenged me about the way that I saw God as like a hotline.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never thought about that before in my life. And it like, you know, it messed me up. And yeah, it's so important to just come with like a grateful heart and that to be the way that we first approach God.
And hearing from y'all, like, hey, we asked for this and God did this. Like we are drawing a direct line between the experience we had as prayers and the experience we're having as receivers.
Yeah.
Has got to be, I mean, and you know, you're planting stuff in them that can't be rejected. You know, that's just how it goes.
It's true.
I've heard, I've never raised a person, but I've watched a lot of people do it. So
neither have we, but working on it. On a more discouraging note, our 4-year-old continues to pray for our dog that has passed away.
Oh boy.
Annie, no kidding. I mean, she knows the dog is no longer with us, but she still prays.
Well, she didn't know that the dog wasn't with us for a long time.
Oh,
Meredith didn't tell her for a long time.
That's true. That is not true.
You just hit the dog to a farm or something horrible like that.
The dog was at the vet because the dog was very sick. And she told her that he was never going to come home.
Didn't tell her that maybe had passed.
And then finally,
on.
she kept praying to God that God would bring maybe back home to us. And so finally, I had to tell her one day, like, Cyrus, maybe's dead. She's not coming back. And so, yet she still continues to pray for me.
She has bigger faith than all of us, I guess.
Oh, boy. When maybe resurrects, I got some other things I'm bringing to Cyrus. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if her parents have been fasting and praying for right on two decades, I don't know what kind of power she's got.
That's been downloaded in her somehow.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, Matt, can we talk for a minute about Greater Things?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's such a good album. I love it so very much.
Oh, thank you.
This is your first one as a solo artist, correct?
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me how it feels different than the worship albums you've done before.
Man, it was such an interesting kind of season where I was not on staff at a church anymore and I was still writing a lot. And the way we even approached the record, it wasn't at all like, all right, I'm going to make an album. It was kind of like, all right, these are the songs that I'm writing. I like this one. Let's like release this one. And so we just released one song and then we released another song and another. And so even from that perspective, it kind of organically like started to shape up into like a 9-song project, just little by little. And, you know, there are definitely like some positives and negatives, like not being attached to like a church. I think like the hardest part for me is that I'm such a team person. I love collaboration. And I was really nervous that me doing a solo project, it would just feel like, all right, this is Mac Brock. This is everything that he is doing is just like him by himself, you know? That actually turned out not to be true. Like I had so many people like on my team, so many people like songwriters, producers that got involved that it did feel more of like a collaborative effort that was really inspiring to me. It's just been awesome. Like it's been a challenging season, like leading like new songs and seeing kind of like what the Lord is like doing through like new music coming out of me, like coming out of like my heart that's not attached solely to like a church. But I've been real grateful for the process.
Meredith, is he a different kind of person when he's writing songs than when he's performing them? So comparison being when I'm writing a book, I'm kind of a monster because it's all the stuff has to get out of me and it's hard for me to be the best version of Annie when I'm writing so much. Is that like, do y'all experience that seasonally where there's times where you have to step in and be more supportive and more like helpful because of the art that Mac is making?
Yes, 100%. but it's different. I would say, and I don't know, babe, I'd love to.
I'm sad I'm not seeing y'all's faces between each other right now because I'd love to know like whose face is saying what.
Not to answer for Meredith, I think in a lot of ways, I'm good at compartmentalizing.
Uh-huh.
And so like, I'll go off and do my thing. But then occasionally, like I will come home and I'll be carrying the weight of like a project.
Yeah.
So just,
for sure.
I mean, even like 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm in the middle of working on like a new project.
Yeah.
And Meredith came to me like just at the end of the week, one week. And she's like, hey, like we need to talk. I feel like you're unengaged, disconnected. And I just need to know like what's going on. And I didn't even realize how just me internalizing in my mind, thinking about these songs, thinking about the production, thinking about the mixes, whatever it might be, I was carrying that externally without even like realizing it.
Yeah.
But being kind of just a little bit aloof and disengaged, that was helpful for me. It's not pleasant to hear from my wife, but it helped me realize, oh, like I didn't even realize how disconnected I was. And so how can I rectify that now?
Right.
It also helped her to know like, oh, I didn't even think about the fact that you're in this project and you feel all this pressure. Like that wasn't on my radar. So it's good for me to know where you're at.
Right.
And it was just, I don't know, it was a crummy conversation to have, but it was the next, you know, the rest of the night and the next day was like a really good, you know, really good for our relationship.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly it. He goes in and out of seasons. And most of the time I'm aware of it, but occasionally I don't know that he has a due date for a single.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or
right.
Most of the time I do know, but it just wasn't on my radar, you know? And so for me to be able to kind of have the guts to say, hey, what's going on? Like, right. You're in the room, but you are not here,
yeah.
You know, and for us to be able to talk about it. And so it's not all the time. One thing I will say, and I think anybody who's close to Mac Brock knows this, is every once in a while, his brain, and for creatives, I've just been around creatives so much now, it's very normal for me. But if you're not in relationship with a creative, this would probably
be. I was about to say, you live with all of us. Like you right. see every, yeah.
It's all I've ever known, I feel like, as an adult, yep. is living with creatives. But I can see he's working something out in his brain.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can even be like in the middle of a conversation, I can see he is working on something. And I've just learned to just be quiet for a minute and let you know, and be patient with it, because he'll come back. Like he'll, but
there's a lot of patience.
But literally, anybody who's like, he'll even start. He's always making musical noises constantly.
Yeah,
and I think it's because he's working out parts and songs, you know. And I've just learned that that's just who he is, and it's part of our life to hear constant drum beats or.
And I think
whatnot.
It also goes back to. I think it also goes back to what we said at the beginning of this conversation about like coming from a place of trust.
Yeah, totally.
And Meredith, like. Trust that I'm, if I do that,
he's not ignoring me.
Yeah. It's not coming from a malicious place.
Never. Or, yeah.
You know, anything like that. It's just kind of, I don't know, part of my quirks.
Well, yeah. And I do it for sure. You know, like if there are times where he's trying to engage with me in conversation, yeah. and all I can think about is the fact that, oh my gosh, that I have a book release in a week.
Yes.
Right.
That's literally what I was about to ask, is if it switches the other way too, it would have to by nature.
Oh, totally.
But I wondered if your job has seasons like that where, Mac, you have to step in and go like, okay, this is a release week from air, or this is, you know, we're right in the middle of contracts. And so it's going to require a different thing than a normal day.
Yeah, totally have seasons like that. And sometimes I handle them really well. And sometimes I handle them very poorly. other conversations that need to be had.
Yeah. We're going to hang up and you guys are going to be like, okay.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. Mac, tell me your favorite thing about being married to Meredith.
When we had kids and I got to just see the way she was as a mom was a whole different level of like, the woman that I fell in love with. Like it was almost like seeing her blossom into like just an even better version of herself. And so that's like, I think like that's like one of like the best gifts that I've gotten to see. But I think just like being married to her, like just her as like an individual outside of just being a mom, is we've become like very on the same page in like so many ways, like in the way that like we even like pursue the Lord. And the way that we kind of listen to the Lord. And that's just like such a unique, tender thing that we've experienced in our marriage over the last even 2 years. Mm. You know, the last 2 years of our marriage have been by far the best we've ever had. And I think a lot of that is in part to like the way that we're communicating to each other about like what the Lord is doing in our life has made it very just in sync. And it's just been a real precious thing to experience together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to, when you said that, the best 2 years of your marriage, I would love for you both to kind of say why that is.
I don't totally know. You know, like,
this was not a formula. We didn't plan on it.
Right.
But I think one of the things that I have talked to people about that have just been helpful is like, we've just gotten so good at communicating to each other and planning intentional time together. We've never in our marriage been a couple that could be like, all right, Thursday nights are date nights.
Yeah.
That's, nothing can happen. Yeah,
yeah,
protected. We've always been like, this week I got this going on. This week, next week I got this going on. And we kind of have to be fluid with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten just to a point of like, I understand what Meredith values and how I can pour into that. And we become very intentional with our calendar, mm-hmm. very intentional with talking through, you know, it used to be like we talk through the week. Now we talk through like, all right, the next 3 months, these are the dates that we've got going on. These are the dates that I want to get some time with you. And I know what Meredith values. So I know how to make sure that I'm filling the needs for her. And then the other thing I think is just, we're in such a season of like, we don't know what's next.
Right.
And ever since we stepped off staff at Elevation, we haven't known what was next. And we've been forced to kind of rely on just the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that because it's me and her doing that together and we're very cling to each other as we both cling to the Lord, has just been a really special awakening, I guess, in our relationship and how we communicate with each other and how like we kind of walk out our days. It's been really, I don't know, just like an extra blessing that I don't think we were even expecting walking into this season.
For sure.
That's beautiful. Well done. You should write stuff, Mac. You're very good with your words. Mayor, what's your favorite thing about being married to Mac?
Well, I got it easy because I got a minute to think about it because I was like, she's going to ask me this question.
You're right.
So Mac got put on the spot. But honestly.
But you did great.
He did too great. Thanks, babe. That was really nice to hear. Well, as an Enneagram 8, I tend to, you know, our core sin, where it comes from. We're angry.
Yeah.
And we're challengers. And so I'm just an aggressive person. I always have been. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best parts of being married to Mac is that he has helped me temper that so much by loving me so well, honestly. Oh, wow. Just because I come from, like I said, I came from such a broken background. I just had to, everything in me needed to challenge and fight against the world. That was like my DNA.
Yeah.
You know,
like I will take care of myself. I can handle this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't trust any of you, you know, but Mac and his just steady and stable love of me that was just so consistent that when I tried to break up he just said, no, that's not going to happen. You know, when right. I just, the way he has just loved me and the way the peace that he brings into my life by just simply being who he is. That is my favorite part of being married to Mac Brock. And he's funny.
Yes.
And he just all around makes my life 1000% better. Like he really is truly my best friend. You know, I think having kids has been the best thing we ever did.
Yeah.
It's brought out in him. Like Annie, he never wanted to have kids. And I had to really... That was another fasting and praying moment. Look at that, babe. I never even really realized. Yeah. But I really wanted to have kids and he didn't. And I said, well, I think I'm going to fast and pray about this. You can join me if you'd like. And he did. And on the other side of it, you know, the Lord had changed his heart and he was ready. He was scared, but he was ready. And just seeing him become a dad and how much he loves it. I could go on and on. Being married to Mac is my favorite thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh my God.
Other than come to know the Lord.
Mac Brock, you need to get that t-shirt made.
Oh, right?
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's great. You guys, thank you for doing this. This is like, as we have already decided, the minute we met, we became dear friends. I mean, it just is so easy being friends with y'all. And so I'm just so thankful to hear deeper sides of your story and so encouraged as a woman not yet married to like, okay, we're getting to see a lot of couples this month and I'm learning health from all of them. So I feel like you're teaching me a lot of health in spiritual disciplines when it comes to relationships. So
that's awesome.
Just thank the world of y'all. That's awesome. Okay, you guys, but I can't let you go into your land of being in a lovely life with adorable children and humor and each other without telling me what sounds fun. That's the name of the show. We have to know what sounds fun to the Brock family. What do you guys do for fun?
What do we do for fun? Me and Harvey play a lot of video games together.
Yeah. Do you? What do you play?
Oh, like Fortnite and Spider-Man.
I was about to say, are you a Fortnite guy?
I've become one.
Yeah.
Because Harvey loves Fortnite.
I was about to say, honestly, did Harvey start it or did you start it?
Oh, I started it. Oh, for sure. I blame it on him, but I'm trying to be honest.
Appreciate you.
Probably the funnest thing I think like as a family is us just laughing at our daughter.
Oh my gosh,
she's just so funny and interesting. She's such an interesting little person. And so we just... Every dinner, every time we're hanging, like we can't help but just like
kind of laugh at
who she's doing.
Really?
And who she is. She's so funny. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's probably the most fun we have.
I agree.
Okay.
100%.
That's a great answer. Well done. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. I adore you both. I'm so thankful we're friends.
Thanks.
Thanks, Annie.
You guys, I know they're just amazing. I mean, just thinking about that fasting conversation and what fasting and prayer have done for their relationship and their lives, It's just amazing. Hey, if you want more information on fasting, Jesus talks about it in the book of Matthew chapter 6. So you can go read about it there. But also there's a book called Celebration of Discipline. And it has a chapter on fasting that I have found incredibly helpful as fasting has kind of become a discipline in my life. And I think you would really enjoy. And it's by Richard Foster. So we will link to that stuff in the show notes. And we try every time, like when this show comes out on a Monday, we try on Tuesday at AnnieFDowns.com. to have the show notes up with all the links in it. So we'll add some more fasting books there if that is something you want to learn more about. But I'm so grateful to Mac and Meredith for telling us their story and for telling us some of the deep places of their relationship. And I'm so grateful. I love them. I love them. I love them. Hey, make sure you are following Mac and Meredith everywhere. Mac Brock and Meredith Brock are their Instagram handles. So find them, tell them thanks for being on the show and how much it meant to you. And make sure you grab a copy of Mac's latest album called Greater Things. It's really good, you guys. It's really, really good. It makes me extra happy that he's creating new music, because as soon as that comes out, I'm going to tell you, because it's just so good. Hey, if there's anything I can do for you, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs all over the place. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere you want to find me, that is how you're going to find me. And if you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing the show, that helps a lot. And sharing it with friends. I bet some of your friends would really be interested to hear about the spiritual disciplines conversation around relationships. So just send this on to them. That would mean a lot to me. So I hope you guys have a great week. Happy Monday. Go out and do something that sounds fun to you. And we will see you back here on Thursday with our dating couple of the That Sounds Fun podcast. Not married, dating. It's going to be awesome. We'll see you guys on Thursday.